You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In her new novel, City of Tranquil Light, Bo Caldwell tells the story of two missionaries in China in the early 20th century who developed their love and their faith as they adjust to the new country, although both are often tested. Ms. Caldwell's first novel, The Distant Land of My Father, was one of the Los Angeles Times best books of 2001, and this new one is published by Henry Holt. I'm very pleased that it brings Bo Caldwell to our show. Hi.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you wrote that first novel, The Distant Land of My Father, in 2001. Has it taken you 6 years to write this one? I mean, 9 years.
It took a long time. I started it fairly soon after Distant Land was published. I think I started it in the spring of 2002. Wrote about 80 pages that I didn't like very much, but I found that the only way to know is to keep going. So I kept going, and then in 2004, life intervened. In the fall of that year, I was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer, and I'm healthy now. I had a good prognosis, but even though it was very early stage, they treat it very aggressively. So I had chemo and radiation that year and really put the novel on the back burner for a couple of years. So,
because the novel does take a certain amount of physical effort, doesn't it?
It does.
Norman Mailer once said that he thought that writing a nonfiction book was kind of like cross-country skiing, but writing a novel is like climbing a mountain.
Very much. Very much so. Because I was doing some nonfiction writing, paid nonfiction writing, a different kind of project, and I could do that. But it took a couple of years for me to be able to get back and get my head around fiction.
Now, China plays a major role in both of your novels. Is it simply because you're fascinated by the country?
No, I have a family connection. My maternal grandparents were missionaries in China. So my mom and her siblings grew up there. And even though they came back when they were late teens or young adults, my mom and her siblings, China was always kind of part of our family, at that part of the family. You know, family dinners with my grandparents were at New Moon Chinese restaurant, and there were Chinese, there was Chinese furniture in their home, and China kind of meant home, even as a child, to me, in ways that I didn't really understand, but I knew it was my mom's home.
Have you based the story on their experiences?
Yes. City of Tranquil Light is, it was certainly inspired by their lives. And once I got interested in the idea of their lives as the basis for a novel, I read lots of other biographies and autobiographies of missionaries. So I was, you know, as a novelist, you get to be God and take what you want and leave the rest. And I did that. I just kind of chose what I wanted. But my grandparents were certainly the inspiration.
Where does that title, City of Tranquil Light, come from?
I think I made that one up.
Sounds like the translation of something.
Yes, it
from
is.
Chinese.
It is. It's the city that my fictional characters live in is Guangpingcheng, which is translated as City of Tranquil Light. So I think I made it up from other names that I knew.
How much did you know about your grandparents' experiences in China? Did they talk much about them?
Yes and no. My grandmother died when I was about 10, so I knew her, you know, as a child knows a person, but not as an adult. My grandfather died in 1974 when I was in college, so I did know him better. But he wrote a memoir for our family, just for our family, just kind of Xeroxed and given, everybody was given a copy. So I did know from that. And even though there aren't, you know, it wasn't as though even 50% of the memoir went into the novel, there were pieces of it that really touched me and inspired me and that told me a lot about him.
Well, your two main characters, Will Keen and Catherine Friesen, meet while they're both doing missionary work. Where do they come from?
In the United States, their background? The fictional characters come from, Catherine comes from South Dakota, a Mennonite family, and Will comes from Oklahoma, a Mennonite family. And both of their families came over when thousands of Mennonites immigrated to the United States from Polish Russia in 1874 and then 1876.
And is there a missionary component to the Mennonite version of Protestantism?
The Mennonites have a very strong evangelical and missionary outreach.
In recent years, missionaries have faced some serious resistance in their attempts to gain converts to Christianity. Was there less resistance in China during the early 20th century?
Yes and no. You know, foreigners were very suspect, especially in the interior, where they were vastly outnumbered. There were only a few. So there was a lot of, you know, the hostility was very open and all that. But I think on their what worked in their favor, people like my grandparents and certainly my fictional characters put as much emphasis on helping the people physically and improving their daily lives as they did passing on their good news.
But they still were trying to convert them, and it does take a certain amount of certainty to assume that your religion is better than the other person's religion.
Yeah, I think they. I think my grandparents and other people like them viewed it as not thinking of it as certainty so much as that passing on a gift that they had felt like they had been this given of a certain kind of faith, and it had done good things for them and for their lives, and so they wanted to pass it on to someone else.
In one section, Edward, the leader of the missionary trip, says to Catherine, "We're here to offer the people the gift of faith, not remake their way of life." How did missionaries learn to accept the different cultural practices in China?
Well, in my grandparents' case, and again, my fictional characters, I think they kind of fell in love with the people. And so they had some respect for their lifestyles and their beliefs and their traditions, and were not trying to change all of that overnight, but just to pass on the gift of faith.
Although they also had to deal with some practices, for example, in medicine that are rather shocking. Your description of them at the time where a woman feeds her daughter rat feces and has her wrists slashed to cure worms are shocking. Did the missionaries know anything about medicine?
My grandmother had been trained as a nurse, so she knew, she knew quite a bit. And I think when she arrived in China, she found she knew far more than she thought she had, because there were so many things that she could treat and that she was able to help with.
Well, we all know rat feces is not a very good thing to eat. Beau Caldwell's latest novel is called City of Tranquil Light, and it is published by Henry Holt. You tell the story from both perspectives, but he in a first-person narrative and she through diary entries. Why
yes.
That approach?
Actually, I didn't start out with that. I started out telling it only in Will's point of view, who he's an old man looking back on his life and telling that story in the same way my grandfather had for our family. And after a first draft, a couple of early readers told me that we needed more of Catherine's voice and more of her presence. And I can't remember if somebody else said journal or if I thought of journal, but I had a wonderful time doing that. I just started writing her journal entries and then began to look at the draft and looking at where those would fit in.
So her entries are before his, because he's writing from the distant past and she's writing in the present.
Yes, he's looking back and she's writing as the events occur. And so I found out that the best way to do that, she could either kind of echo what he said, she could contradict him, or she could expand upon it. And that was interesting to me.
Well, they do have a very strong relationship, which at times you wonder whether it's based more on love or more on their shared faith.
Well, I think to me the book is about marriage and about how their personalities complement each other. I think they were very much in love, but, you know, they say the writer's the last person you should ask. But I see them as very much in love.
Well, they face an awful lot of adversity, although it doesn't seem to have put much stress on their relationship, but just on their lives. Death, famine, war, bandits, the civil war breaks out, and they have to deal with that. Would missionaries have had an easier time with Chiang Kai-shek's army or with Mao's revolutionaries?
I think that's up for grabs. I mean, my first novel took place in Shanghai from 1937 to 1955, and then in Los Angeles. And so I've looked at that period of Chinese history, and then this one is 1906 to 1933. And I think that was one of the heartbreaks that occurred in Chinese history over and over again. It kept looking like something better was coming along, and the people again and again were betrayed by the government or the new forces that they thought were going to save them and change everything.
Did the Civil War make missionary work more dangerous?
Yes. Civil War, there was a strong, it kind of, along with Civil War came a strong anti-foreign, another strong feeling of anti-foreign, foreignism. So even though missionaries who'd been in China for years or decades were all of a sudden suddenly suspect again.
And endangered. There was always the threat to the compound that they created.
Yes, and a threat to them physically. They were sometimes scapegoats. They were viewed as the reason for all the bad things happening.
And yet Catherine and Will choose to stay.
They do. It was home. They were in love with these, as I said, I think they were in love with these people and this land. And I think also they feel that to leave because of danger would be a complete betrayal of the people and of their faith.
Did most of the missionaries stay through World War II, or is that what forced them out?
No, most would come home. There are very few missionaries who stayed through. And I read a couple of their stories, and they worked hard to stay through. And, you know, a great sacrifice, sometimes sacrificing, you know, not being with the rest of their families in the United States.
And then I'm assuming the few that did remain left after Mao took over.
Most. My grandparents actually, after the communist takeover, my grandparents went to Taiwan and did work for quite a few years longer. But some missionaries were able to kind of stay under the wire and complete their work there, but those were very few.
Is it difficult to tell a story like this in a secular environment?
I don't know if it's difficult. It was. It seemed risky to me. It made me nervous. Because I didn't know if it would sell, if it would work, if people would be interested. But
well, you're not aiming this at evangelicals.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I hoped it would reach a much wider audience. And I really came to the conclusion I felt that I had to write what was in my heart. It's not really worth doing if you're not writing from what's in your heart, to me.
Your husband, Ron Hansen, is also a novelist. Have you worked that out? Do you help each other? Or because some novelists tell me that they show that dinner is an opportunity to hand over the pages that have been worked on that day. And others will tell me that they won't show their spouse anything until the book is complete.
Oh, we're very much in the middle of all that. It's wonderful. One of the advantages of being married to a writer is that you get each other the same way accountants or lawyers or whoever would get their work. So if as we're finishing work and we get distracted and we don't really feel like talking or we're working long hours, the other one understands that. We always read each other's work first. He's a very smart novelist and helps me a lot. And I think I can help him with women's perspectives in his work and that kind of thing. And he's very gentle with me. He's a wise husband.
You've gotten some wonderful blurbs from some pretty impressive writers like Andrea Barrett, Jay Perini, Patricia Hampel, and Gail Godwin.
Thank you.
The previous book was a bestseller.
It was a national bestseller. It did well. It was very exciting. I'm kind of a late bloomer, so it's been very rewarding.
One of my producers wants me to ask you: are you a religious person?
Well, I'm going to go with that cliche of spiritual but not religious. I kind of reclaimed some of my Protestant roots in the writing of this. I converted to Catholicism in 1996, and this kind of brought me back to my Protestant roots. So these days I'm kind of a Mennonite Presbyterian Catholic.
Beau Caldwell, her latest book, City of Tranquil Light. It's published by Henry Holt. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I appreciate it.